Good morning. 7:51, January the 18th, 2017. Yeah, I didn't walk yesterday. I didn't realize I didn't walk yesterday until the day was almost over and I thought, oh, I didn't walk this morning. And I went to fill out my bullet journal and realized there was nothing there. It's like, oh, shoot. So here I am. I got today, tomorrow, and Friday, and I got 2 days off. And I'll be back on Monday. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm talking with the chairman of the Independent Writer of the Year Award Committee about what criteria to judge Independent Writer of the Year. Now, the criteria that they've got are copied almost verbatim from the Writer of the Year, the TradPub Award. And okay, fine. You know, trads have so little control over what it is that they're doing. They can write, but they can't necessarily get published. They can only submit. And so there's a limitation on what we can judge about writers of the year. So the best writer of the year might not have been able to get published this year, or might have signed a contract last year and won't be published until next year. And so there's a problem with writers of the year. And that, yeah, okay, fine, yeah, this is how the writers of the year are awarded their accolades. The problem is that significant reviews don't matter anything to indies. There are people who subscribe to the notion that a significant review can make a difference. I'm not one of those people. And I look at titles that have paid for and gotten starred Kirkus reviews. It hasn't helped them. It hasn't helped them sell a book. It doesn't help them with their core business, which is writing and publishing titles for sale. So as there's this breakdown between what people believe and what people do. So I understand that from an organizational perspective, the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers want to have as level a playing field as possible. And I'm good with a level playing field. But if we're going to level the playing field, then we can't be judging independent writers on the same criteria that we're judging traditional publishers. That way lies madness. Because the only part that's significant, the only part that's similar, is what we do. And even that is up for grabs. Writing a story. The Writer of the Year doesn't get to be Writer of the Year for writing a story. Writer of the Year gets to be Writer of the Year for convincing a publisher to publish a story. And the main criteria of notable reviews and significant professional accomplishments, when oriented toward performance at various conventions or awards from other organizations, like getting a Rita from the Romance Writers Association, Writers of America, or the what's the one, Mystery Writers of America, I have one. An Edgar. I think it's an Edgar. Named for Poe. Maybe those are, maybe that's the horror writers. I don't remember anyway. They're not my genre, they're not my circus. So this idea of how do we judge? How do we look across the membership and say, okay, who was the independent writer of the year? It has to be somebody who publishes at least one book, and the ability to publish more than one should probably count. God knows I haven't been able to publish more than one a year for a long time. God willing, this year will be the year. It's having a professional presentation, it's having a good blurb, it's having good covers, it's having good representation in social media, it's having an orientation toward the reader and the public face, and toward the organization in the private face, or at least toward the field in the private space. I think this is stuff that traditionally published authors should be paying a little bit more attention to, those areas where they have more control, like, well, audience facing. Now, you know, I keep talking about Wendig. Wendig is probably a pretty good writer. I don't read Wendig. I can't read Wendig. He drives me crazy. He doesn't. That's not that he doesn't talk nice. He doesn't talk nice. It's not that he's foul-mouthed and overly fond of scatological and obscene terminology. I got nothing against it. It's just that he applies it indiscriminately, or appears to apply it indiscriminately. He appears to... he uses it for shock value, and he overuses it, so its shock value is diminished. And after a while, I used to read Terrible Minds quite a lot, but after a while I found it to be repetitive and tedious. And the problem with Wendig is that while he does self-publish some books, his public face is to writers, not to readers. And so he doesn't sell his self-published books as well as he might, I believe. This is just an opinion. Because he doesn't have a significant face to the audience. Now, you guys, I'm talking about writing now, but you guys are... about half to two-thirds of you are actually writers too, and are just, I don't really know why, you just subscribed just to find out what I'm doing. And at least some of you won't hear this because you pick and choose, which is appropriate. It's like, oh, I've got time, let me listen to one of Nate's morning walks. And some of them are really, they're really nothing. So the question of how do we ascertain who among the 50 or so indie authors in Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers should be acclaimed as Indie Writer of the Year? And I maintain, Monk Post, I maintain that USA Today, New York Times, bestseller lists don't really cut it. They don't really matter. Yes, if you get one of those, that book might do better. Probably does do better. The people who are successful, the people who are truly the indie writers that I believe are people who deserve the accolade of their local writers group are the people who approach the process professionally. Just like the people who do traditionally published work approach professionally the work that they do. The criteria for professionalism is somewhat different between the two. I'm walking carefully because there's ice and shadows here this morning. And a lot of times the ice is hiding in the shadows. Whew. Well, I got warmed up. I thought I was going to freeze before I got warm. I tried to find a workout channel on Pandora so that I'd have some bouncy music to walk to. And I kept finding these branded stations, which are completely pointless. Garbage truck. Said it's only Wednesday. In a minute. Into the next cul-de-sac. So I also have to come up with an article, a column for the blog post for the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers blog for the second Friday in February. Reviewed a book this morning. What did I review? It was late last night when I realized I didn't have the review ready for today, so I was up late. Another Glenn Stewart. The Terran Privateer. And he's been working on other stuff. He has a paranormal series. I suppose I should give it a chance. I don't really like paranormal. It's too... I find it too predictable. I find it too... generally too eye-rolling. I'm tired of werewolves. I'm tired of vampires. I'm more than tired of zombies. Oh, it's a beautiful morning. I smelled the wood smoke earlier. Somebody had a smudge going. There's a little bit of cirrostratus up there in the northeast corner of the sky. Other than that, it's pretty clear. Now that I'm warmed up and my fingers are warm, everything is warmer except my nose. I discovered that this hood has a drawstring that allows me to pull it in close to the side of my face so it doesn't scoop up as much cold air, which is handy. And getting a good walk in will undoubtedly help me. I've been working on the office. I've been working on getting the office squared away. I found a lot of junk. I've thrown a lot of junk away. There were three boxes of stuff, and I thought they were the three boxes of stuff that I'd moved here 22 years ago. But the reality was they were office stuff for my last office at the university, including a coffee grinder and a handy knife, paring knife. Can opener. Oh, the last box is assorted media, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it. I'd like to probably just erase it and call it good. We'll have to see. But anyway, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.